Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, there is a lot that we have to thank him for. The gift of life, the gift to be in his house, to be where his word is being spoken. Indeed, there is always a lot that we have to praise God. You know, one of the things that we always see a constant theme in the Bible is praise. And when we look at the lives of the apostles, when we see Paul and Silas, today we'll be able to see how they praise God even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of prison, in the midst of pain. But even beyond that, we know that praise is actually one of the greatest strategies that God has given the believers, because praise goes beyond circumstance. You know, praise is really a sacrifice, and there are various scriptures that teach us on praise, and I don't think we might be able to cover all this in such a session, but I think I just wanted us to just have a short peek into praise, into looking at what does it mean to just praise God, to boast about God, you know, to give him glory, to rejoice in his name, you know, to lift up our hands, you know, about him, to, you know, to boast, to rave, to shine, you know, to celebrate, whether it's by words, whether it's by music, whether it's by kneeling down or saluting, you know, whether it's in a song, a spontaneous song, whether, you know, it's lifting up our hands, and all these things are part of praise. But I think one of the things that we learn from the apostles is that they praised him in the midst of pain, praise in the midst of pain. And this is some of the things that we learn. And even as we are in the book of Acts, we are in Acts chapter 16. And today we'll look at the prison praise. And the Bible tells us that, and Acts 16 from verse, maybe we can start from, we are connecting yesterday from the issue of the slave girl. And Acts chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible tells us that now it happened as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us Romans to receive or observe." Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, we've already, yesterday, we were able to see how we can distinguish the spirit of divination, which is actually the word there is Python, and that is from where Python comes, the snake. And we were able to see that there are certain characteristics. And one of the things that comes out that divination has is that it comes from the spirit of the devil. It's a spirit of error. We've been able to see how it focuses more on profit, and that's why they were, you know, the masters of the slave girl, they saw how they will not get the money they were getting. And because of that, there is a cartel, and the cartel, the people who surround this issue of divination, then they now retaliated. And one of the things about ministry is that we expect that it is a war. The reality is, when you're going to fight, there is a war. And that means that there are things that we have to overcome. Yes, Christ has won the battle for us. Yes, Christ has given us the victory. The victory belongs to the saints. But it is one thing to go and take possession of what Christ has done. It is one thing to declare with your mouth, to shout, you know, to go and take possession of what God has done. And this is the place where we fight. You know, as what the Lord has done, you must declare it. You must speak it. You must bring it forth to life. Our God is a speaking God, and we have a responsibility to constantly open our mouths and declare what he has done. Now, because when they went and fought, then what did happen? There was persecution. And this is something, a common theme that follows the life and the pattern of Paul's missionary journeys. And, you know, he shows how everywhere he went, he knows that persecutions await him. You know, the Holy Spirit has already revealed to him that in every city he goes, persecutions await him. And now he goes and faces persecution. And you can see the people who were in charge of this slave girl, they arrested Paul and dragged him to the marketplace and the authorities, and they accused them. You know, they say that these people, they are Jews. They trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us Romans to receive. And you see, when the crowd rose against Paul and Silas, what did the magistrates do? And you know, it's funny enough that these are the people that now accuse them, or the people that pass judgment on them, are not like just ordinary people. These are magistrates. These are people who should be knowing the law. And instead of even giving them a fair hearing, they tear off their clothes and command them to be beaten with rods. You can imagine, you're just there in the midst of everyone, your clothes are torn, and then you're beaten with rods. And the Bible says, and after they had laid many stripes. That means it's like it's gotten to a point where they're not even counting. Many stripes on them. They threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And so what did the jailer do? He has to throw them into the inner prison, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. That means they're thrown in the inner prison, there are chains on them, but not only are they chained in their hands, also their feet are chained. But you see, the gospel is not chained. And that's one of the things that we must constantly know, that no matter how much the enemy has tied our feet, maybe we've just lost our jobs, or we've just gone through a certain trouble that is beyond us. One of the greatest strategies, or one of the greatest responses that confuses the enemy, is actually praise. And what is praise? Praise is just declaring the wonders of God, being boastful about what God has done. It's very easy to praise God when things are okay. When you've just received a job, it is easy to praise God. But Hebrews tells us of the sacrifice of praise. Let us continually offer to God the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. Why? Because it's speaking that now, this is now not just a rejoicing of what God has done. There is a point where praise becomes a sacrifice. And this you can read in Hebrews 13 verse 15, where it says, therefore, by him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That means there is a continuous sacrifice of praise. And this is a sacrifice of praise that Paul and Silas were offering. Now, the Bible says, verse 25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners heard them. That means that, and even if you think about it, they sang praises. They prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners were listening. That means they weren't just singing and praising, praying and praising quietly. They were in pain. Maybe I can imagine they had pain on their backs. They had pain on their buttocks. They had pain in their legs. It must have been so painful that it did not even make sense to sleep. But beyond that, I'm also saying that it was something that was a culture in them, that they had an hour of prayer. They also had an hour of praising and praying unto God, that they still kept it even in the midst of prayer. Because the Bible says, but at midnight, when it was expected that they should be crying in their pain, at expected that they should be, you know, feeling pity on themselves, what has happened to them? The Bible tells us that they were praying and praising and singing hymns to God. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22 verse 3 says, O thou, O Lord, thou inhabitest. Oh, Psalms 22 verse 3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That means that God is everywhere. And this is something that we know. But there is something that God does in that there are certain places where he makes his praises more manifest. That means that he makes his presence more manifest where people praise him. In fact, the Bible even speaks that he becomes a double-edged sword. Praise is a double-edged sword against the enemies. And that is why when they praise God, the presence of the Lord came. The angel of the Lord came. And verse 26 tells us that suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. You can imagine they're just praising God. They're singing through the chains, through their legs tied. And what happens? Suddenly, great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. All the doors were open and everyone's chains fell off. Shackles cannot keep us when we praise God. Why? Because it is a spiritual expression of what God has done. You know, when you think of David, David was a praiser. And one of the things that when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says that he praised and sang and danced to the Lord that even his clothes fell off. And when Michal, his wife, who was the daughter of Saul, saw him praising and asked him, but why should a king so disgrace himself before the servants' girls? And David tells Michal, look here, it was God that picked me from being a shepherd boy and made me to be king over and above your father. And he says, I will be even more undignified like this than this before him. Praise is even going being more undignified. You know, it's one of the words, you know, there are about seven words in Hebrew that speak of praise, but one of them that we can pick out is halal. And halal, it means to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate. But one of the other definitions of it is to make a fool of oneself. And it also says to act madly, to act like a madman. That means that we get to a point where it doesn't matter whether you think I'm mad. For me, what God has done, what God will do, what God is doing is enough for us to praise him. And I love one of the challenges that Pastor Nathaniel Bassey always does, the Hallelujah Challenge, where he does the midnight praise and people come. And one of the things he tells us that come dressed like a miracle. I don't know what it is you're trusting God for. You know, he says that come, you know, come dressed like a miracle. If you want, you're trusting God for a job, come dressed in that interview suit that you'll put on, that garment. Maybe you're trusting God for a wedding, you know, to get married. Come dressed in a wedding gown. Maybe you're trusting God for a child. Come dressed with those maternity gowns. And as you praise God and worship God for that hour, it looks like it's foolishness. It looks like it's madness. But there are miracles, countless miracles that are testified of what the Lord has done. Why? Because praise is now acting foolishly, making a fool of oneself, acting madly like a madman. You know, Isaiah tells us that Where is that verse? Isaiah tells us that with joy, Isaiah 12 verse 3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What is water? Water are the miracles. When Jesus was drawing forth, you know, the wine, he tells them, go and draw forth the water from the jars and take it to the king or to the chief guest. And when he drank the water, he found that it was wine. The Bible says, with joy you will draw forth from the wells of salvation. God is telling us that this Christian life is best done with joy. Ask God to give you the joy of the Holy Spirit. That even when you have just lost your job, even when it looks like this is not a time to be praising God, there are retrenchments all around, there are, you know, position, you know, changes and all that. Your job is abolished. You are sitting on an abolishment. Even in that, it is a moment that you can praise God. Because the enemy expects to put you down. But God comes and asks and says, who is this who is acting foolishly for my name? Who is this who is acting like a madman? The enemy has expected that by this time you should be down. You should be mourning. You should be crying. But you are rejoicing. You are rejoicing. I remember there was a time when, you know, I and my wife, we went through a challenge. And it was something that we did not expect. You know, we've just... You know, you've gone through a miscarriage and you're like, the enemy expects that you should be crying. But I remember when we praised God in that moment. We praised God that God found it worthy to bless us. And it was very hard. And indeed, there have been moments where I've been even hard. But that, to us, was one of the hardest moments. But as we praise God, we praise God. Today we rejoice in our miracle child. Why? Because we know where God brought us from. We know what it meant. You know, we know what it means for when God inhabits the praises of his people. There are moments that wish the world expects us to be mourning, or the devil expects that he has put us down. That is one of the greatest moments that you need to praise God. The thing that will come out of your mouth at that point is a praise. Think of Job. The Bible says that the devil expected him to curse God. And in fact, even his wife tells him, why don't you curse God and die? And he tells her, you speak like one of the foolish women. Should we receive bad things and good things and not bad things from the Lord? He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I go. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. May his name be praised. May his name be praised. The protocols of entering, the master key, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter and his courts with praise. The master key that we come to the throne room of God is praise. I tell you, if you're going through a struggle and you want to pray and you are in sorrowful, find a way to encourage yourself. Praise God. Praise him. Praise him. And when you praise him, he comes. He enters. Think of even Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and a cupbearer are supposed to give the king wine, and they are supposed to be joyful. You know, that means no one was supposed to come to the king sorrowful. And that's why when the king sees Nehemiah sorrowful, he asks him, why are you downcast? And I see that this is a sadness of the heart. May God give us that revelation that we need to praise him. I tell you, praise him. Wake up in the night and praise him. Wake up at midnight, dance before God and praise him. I was listening to one of the testimonies of one of the pastor Pastor Ojo Peters, where God had asked him to build a new sanctuary. And they didn't have the money, but they went and laid the foundation. They went and laid the foundation. And the foundation even had not come out. And then the revelation comes to them that God calls the things that are not as if they were. And so every midnight with his wife for about 4 or 5 months, they will go pray praise to God and speak. They call forth cement. They call forth water. They call forth, you know, stones. They call forth iron sheets. They call forth rafters. They call forth nails. They call forth everything, 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 until it got to a point where I think after the fifth month, they were like, okay, we are done. That's enough. A month later, a young man comes and asks them, hey, what are you guys doing here? They say, oh, we're building a church. I say, wow, wow, wow. And he says, until this building ends, I am going to supply the cement for this church. And of course, the pastor was feeling, oh, yeah, well, we have had many, many, you know, many promises from people. So he didn't take it positively, or he just left it. But the next day he gets a call. He's told that a truck of cement has arrived. We have a trailer. You know, we have been sent to deliver this bag of cement from this young man. Where do we put it? So they're struggling. Where can we put 600 bags of cement? So they find a way to put it. And then before the month ends, they get another call that, hey, have you not finished the other cement bags that we sent? There's another truck that is coming. And I tell you, everything was provided until the building was finished. They spoke. And then the water that they had dug a borehole. The borehole, they were told that the water is finished. What they had dug was just for home use. The man is gone. They went back and they spoke to the well. And they say water came out of that well that was expired. And even to date, that water is still enough. It still comes forth. There is a joy that draws forth from the wells of salvation. There is a testimony of praise. The Lord sets ambushes against the enemies of Israel when they sang praise, when they went with the trumpeters, when they went with the musicians to a battle. You're putting the musicians in front. You know, when the Bible says Judah, may his name be praised. When Leah realized that she's not struggling for her husband's praise, for her husband's to love her, says, this time I will praise the Lord, and names the son Judah. And God said, that is enough. Let us learn to praise God. Let us learn to thank him. Let us learn to worship him. Just like Paul and Silas, in the midst of pain, in the midst of prison, in the midst of that discouragement, they praise God. And God opened the prison doors, opened their chains. Everything fell off. All the prisoners were loosed. The end result of it is that a jailer was saved. Why? Because the jailer wants to kill himself, but he says, don't kill yourself. We are all here. We are all here. And that's another miracle. How can prisoners' chains fall off and none of them runs away out of the prison? It can only be the power of God. There's a power of praise. I pray that you will praise God today. Even when it doesn't make sense. Become mad for God. Rave about him. Become undignified. Because this is a sacrifice of praise. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into his word. My brothers, sister, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manas. Indeed, this power in praising God and praying to God. I think the message has been very clear. And I think the key there is also being consistent.
Mm.
As you said, I think Paul and Silas had their hour.
Mm.
And they always went to God. Sometimes as Christians, as you said, it's easy to go before God and praise when all is well.
Yeah.
At the moment we are put on a challenge of facing any troubles, we feel like God has abandoned us, and we feel lazy, or feel there's no need to go and pray.
Hmm.
Yet that is the moment at which we should get even closer to God.
Yeah.
Because the enemy uses such moments to then derail us in the gains that we have had already with our relationship with God.
Hmm.
So, yes, thanks for the reminder.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. there's something he says. I can't remember it word for word, but what it implies is that if you do not praise God, it's because you just cannot remember. If any of us would take time to just think back and remember, we'll always find a reason to praise God. We'll always find a reason to be joyful. So I think one of the reasons, sometimes maybe we feel entitled, we become too familiar, and then we focus on the now, maybe the issue now, and then we forget maybe how God has come true for us or the very beautiful things he has done for us in the past. There's that scripture, I think it's in Habakkuk 3, that talks about though the fig tree doesn't blossom, but the prophet ends with, yet will I praise God. Look at Paul and Silas. Their situation was not pleasant at all. But in the midst of that, they still praise God. And by default, the way we are wired, I don't know if it's true, but I saw something some time back, and it was saying that the human body doesn't do well when there's a lot of bitterness, when there's a lot of, by default, like biologically. So it means that even when God was creating us, because he created us in our image, he also created us to be joyful. He also created us to be rejoicing. And when we go against our natural order, it comes back to hurt us. You've heard of incidences where maybe people have gotten sick because of unforgiveness, because of bitterness. That's because that state of mind doesn't go well with how God made us naturally. Yes, so praise is really a powerful weapon. You remember the story, was it Jehoshaphat?
Yes.
Yes, when he had, I think, so many armies against him, and what did God tell him to do? Put the singers, put the, in front, leading the battle, you can imagine. So praise is really powerful, especially when we praise God in a very ugly situation.
Yeah.
I think it's just a reminder and a challenge to us to learn to praise God despite of what we can see or what we're experiencing.
Amen. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the listeners. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who it is hard to praise. It's a moment that is difficult, but it's a moment that we have that we can bring before the throne room and say, Father, you are grateful. Indeed, let us remember. Let us remember the wonderful things that you have done. And indeed, with joy, we shall draw from the wells of salvation. I pray for your comfort to those that need comfort, to your encouragement, to those that are sick, O God, that let a supernatural strength and healing come upon them, O God. Let a joy, let a remembrance come to their spirit of the wonderful things that we have, that you have done, that you have delivered unto your children, O God. I speak a word of blessing. I speak a word of grace. I speak a word of remembrance, O God, you are a provider. You are able to make it, O God, and you have done a mighty thing. We rejoice in advance of what you have done, of what you are doing, and of what you will do. Even when we don't see it, O God, we'll bring a sacrifice of praise unto you. May your name be praised. May your name be worshipped. May your name be glorified. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Man, shalom and blessed day ahead.